Welcome to Raising a Powerful Girl, a community and education platform that empowers parents and caretakers to foster independence, leadership, and strong personal identity in girls so they can change the world. Now, here is the founder and your host, Maria Fuller.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Raising a Powerful Girl. I'm the founder and your host, Maria Fuller. Before we get started, let's make sure you know where to find me. You can find more information about our education and community platform at raisingapowerfulgirl.com, and you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Raising a Powerful Girl. Make sure to connect with us on social media to find out our latest news, learn tips and tricks, submit your questions, and continue our enlightening conversations. And now let's get on with today's show. For many women, we have been told how to think, what to wear, and how to behave from a very early age. And so many of our current beliefs and way of thinking have been ingrained in us from early childhood. These social parameters placed on us, even the most subliminal ones, have created behaviors and ways of thinking for women that has chameleoned us into alternate forms of ourselves, unable to fully express our true authenticity because it goes against everything we've been taught as a young child, and it's a method of emotional and physical self-preservation. This has led many women, especially women entrepreneurs and leaders, to question themselves, to shut down their intuition and inner voice, and feel lost, misunderstood, and out of place in the world. Our business and leadership incubator was created as a safe space for women entrepreneurs, professionals, and leaders to come in and shed the layers and masks that they have been wearing with guidance and support to dig deep and uncover and unleash their intuition, wisdom, gifts, and more in a space of compassion and heart-centered integrity. The women who embark on this mission are taken through a journey of self-exploration, unprogramming, and unleashing of their true authentic self to release that which is not suiting them and reveal their unique passions and heart-centered goals. We work not only on personal development and self-exploration, but we assist in helping women to move past one of the biggest social challenges that they face, and that is the competition amongst women. We believe that in order to make large social impact and global change, that women need to have a space where they can come together in a place of trust and collaboration to truly support each other on a personal and business level. We want women to learn how to come together as a community with vulnerability, transparency, authenticity, and integrity. As a result of our process, the women in our community have a clear understanding of their strengths, their weaknesses, and begin to create goals and plans for their career, their business, their personal and community life. Our education and support is 50% personal and developmental and 50% business education and advancement. We believe that in order for women to be successful, we need to support all the facets that make up their life as they all play a role in their ultimate success. We believe that in order for women to create a successful and powerful business or career, she needs support not just on business aspects, but balancing her personal life, desires, commitments, and more as well. Join founder Maria Fuller and entrepreneur Jamie Sullivan in an intimate conversation on women empowerment, women in business, personal development, women leadership, and the power of women-centered communities.
I'm Maria from Raising a Powerful Girl, for those of you who don't know me, and I have a close colleague turned friend with me today, Jamie, and I kind of wanted to share a little bit about our relationship in terms of business and, you know, kind of what we're doing with our own businesses and how it relates to women leadership, raising powerful girls, which we're both doing. And then we're going to talk a little bit about this business and leadership incubator that we're launching that people are like, sounds really cool, but we're not really sure what it's about. So I met Jamie over 10 years ago. Can you believe that? No. In an online space. It was a parenting forum. And what I think is really funny about our relationship is that in many ways we're really similar, and in other ways we're polar opposites. I mean, like, looking at us right now, it's like the yin and the yang. But what I think I've always loved about you is that you have this sense of authenticity, and you have this presence of really wanting to empower other moms, and you don't like that cattiness, the drama stuff. And that's something that I've always kind of looked for. We both have two girls. And what are the girls? 2 weeks apart?
Yeah.
So yeah. 2 weeks apart.
Yeah. 3 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, and what's amazing is that they're both powerhouse little girls, very different personalities as well, but they get along amazingly.
And they're like sisters.
Yeah, and they only get together, I would say, you know, a handful times a year because we live in separate states. So I'd love for you to tell people kind of your background in business, and we'll kind of just go from there and have a great conversation.
Excellent. I'm excited to be here. So thank you for doing this. I think this is amazing. I would have described our relationship exactly the same. I think that on the outside, people would never put us together in a group, right? And the second I met you, I have always been so impressed with your genuine feelings upon everything, and that you were not afraid to ever express those genuine feelings. And for me, at the time in my life where I was at when we met, I was very afraid to express myself because I was having this issue with expressing myself in a way that came across productively. So we've been working on that for a long time. My bold personality, while not trying to tame the beast inside me, but finding a way to soften her a little bit and really help me not only grow through life, but through my business as well, because it was something that was holding me back for a long time. I think that when we started our relationship, I've always been in the marketing industry. I have a 15 to 20 year medical field industry in the marketing area. I ran a few different offices, physiatry, acupuncture, chiropractic, and absolutely loved connecting people to their needs. So if you didn't feel good, I was, you know, figuring out what was wrong, why, what kind of test you needed, what doctor I was sending you to, and I wanted to pick the absolute best, you know, doctor in your location. Like, all of those little parts and pieces just always really resonated with me. So I was doing that for years and years, back-to-back unexpected pregnancies with my two youngest children. I'm a mom of three, left me in a position where I did not want to put two babies in daycare. I also could not afford it, to be quite honest. And my mom was like, oh, one is fine, but I cannot handle two. Mm-hmm. With my back against the wall, which is interesting. I feel like most people do their best growing when their back is against the wall. Mm-hmm. I started in the multi-level marketing industry 10 years ago. And at the time, people thought it was insane and nobody looked at it like it was serious. And in fact, I got snickered at and laughed at. And, you know, interestingly enough, my business was an adult romance company, you know, so that, of course, got a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. And I really had to learn how to finesse that business into something that was not only professional, but necessary. For me, that business was less about the toy and the product and more about empowering women and having women, you know, have empowered children, you know, because really, we are still responsible for our own bodies. And the women I met throughout the years had no idea. So that's kind of where I was with business when you and I started more bringing business into it than just the friendship that we naturally came to have together.
Yeah. So what I love is that, you know, like so many people out there and women in business, that, you know, the MLM company was your entry point to business. And, you know, there's a lot of business gurus out there that say, well, I'm not working with people that run MLM businesses because they're not legitimate businesses. I'm only working with the other entrepreneurs. And I understand why they say that. But at the same time, I think what's amazing is that you can take an MLM business and really create something unique that's your own. And this is the conversation that you and I had, because I am running, you know, I'm a over 10-year entrepreneur. I've had multiple different businesses, including, you know, a high-end brick and mortar studio. And so I didn't come from the MLM mindset. And when we would talk, I would say, okay, well, this is great. I love what you're doing. You're getting into business. You're getting out there. You're doing all that great work, the networking, the marketing. It all translates to all business. But what are we creating that's yours? Because you did have an experience where you built this big business and it literally shut down overnight.
Yeah.
and you were left with nothing.
Nothing but a lot of debt.
And that's
and a little homeless. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the big thing that I always say to a woman that's starting in an MLM company. That's great. I love that you found something that you love. It's getting you out there. You're connecting with people. But what are you creating now that is going to be yours? Well, this is my company. And it's like, no, you're selling a product with another company. You still have to meet their terms and conditions. You can be terminated at any instance.
Somebody else is paying my bills.
Right. You know, you, what are we creating that's yours? And with you, we decided, I think we did that over a year ago. We started talking about creating something for you. And so we took that boldness of yours and we, through a lot of, I think, unmasking, we would say, getting down to really the core of who you were as a person, created a beautiful brand that would allow you then to grow as an entrepreneur from many different avenues, and you're creating something that's yours that no one can ever take away, which I thought was, you know, really important.
Yeah, and the beauty of that, Maria, for me has been in my entire life, I never had the confidence to even imagine that I would be my own business owner and entrepreneur. I really always pictured myself working for somebody else, if that, right? My mom was a homemaker. Going to college, you know, I was a really, really great student when I was super young, and then, you know, kind of didn't take it as seriously because in my family, the men, you know, the man of the house made the money, and I never even considered having my own business as a child. And in fact, so much so that when I was in my first direct selling company, I really thrived as the one underneath the top one, because I felt like, oh, thank God, well, there's somebody else that could be a little more responsible than me, you know? I can't handle all of that. It wasn't until that company closed and I became the top one at another company where I really started to find myself and some things about me that I absolutely was stunned and loved. And I was like, wow, I surprised myself. And some things about me that I didn't like at all and felt like I need to work on that. I need to brush it up. And for me, my brand is Be Gracefully Bold, and Maria has helped me create all of that. But that started for me empowering women, really. And when I was empowering women, I realized that, you know, there was a very abrasive way to handle things, and then there was a way to handle things very honestly, still getting the point across and not making somebody feel terrible at the end of the day, which is really my goal every single day in business. Because of that brand, as you said, right now I'm with another MLM that I absolutely love and I'm passionate about and believe in the product, and it's absolutely life-changing for me. I think I would stay in that industry, but I really can take my brand anywhere and start over, reinvent, and create, which is nice because that's what I'm doing now. I'm creating another side project right now, and I would not have been able to do that without your nurturing and teaching in terms of who I am, what I need to unmask, what I need to be honest with myself with. A lot of us don't want to see what it really takes to make it. And that was a big kick in the butt for me, is like really seeing, you know, people say, oh, MLM, this is great. You can make your own hours. And yeah, you can if you don't really want to make it. I was working tirelessly for a long time to build the brand that I'm starting to have today. So that's been interesting. It's been a lot of unmasking and pulling away a lot due to our conversation.
Right. And that's what I think people don't understand. And I did this great series with MIT in leadership training and development for women leaders. And it's called Leading in Times of Disruption. And right now we're definitely in a time of disruption. And we know that women want more. We know that we want change. We know that we need change in the world. And so how do we develop that? And, you know, what was amazing to me is that, you know, here are these amazing minds at MIT. And we're going to talk about the people that, you know, I've been learning from over at Harvard as well. These are business people that work with multi-million dollar, billion dollar companies. And when they look at leadership and developing a business, you know, for MIT, the three core things that they see are in order to be successful and in order to be a leader, you need to have an open heart. And so what does it mean to have an open heart? It means to be able to empathize and look at other people's problems or challenges from their point of view. You need to have an open mind. And, you know, for a lot of women in business, they think one way is the way to do it, and that's it. For women and MLMs, and I know when I first started talking to you about your brand, you're like, no, Maria, I don't need that, Maria. Girl, you don't know what you're talking about. It's like, can you please just open mind so I can show you why? And you did it. And that was what's so amazing. And
it was the hardest work I ever did, by the way. There was a lot of times where I was like, I don't want to answer a call, or I'm not going to text you back. And our relationship had never had that, you know, because we are also friends. So that was like, oh my goodness. But I knew everything you were saying to me was something that if I didn't hear it from you and I heard it from somebody else, it might've been a little destructive too, because the way you were saying it to me was so constructive. I just was having such a hard time with it because, you know, we all have this, I know it all. And, you know, no, you don't know me. This is not what I'm trying to project, but you do, you know, through what I was telling you, what I wanted, it wasn't because we were friends. It was because I was telling you what I wanted. I was telling you what my goals were, and they were not matching with what I was portraying and what I was putting out there. And I was spending a lot of energy in the wrong places.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's your open-mindedness and then an open will. And your open will is being able to see patterns of behavior. And this I pull from, you know, our parenting side of raising a powerful girl is recognizing, being able to see, like, these are the patterns of behavior that I have had that are old and how they are affecting me. And being able to say, I'm going to work on letting go of those patterns of behavior and allow new to come in. And then we can pull in from what, you know, if you go to our page on the incubator, and there's this model, it's called the DDO model. And I have people messaging me saying, what is this DDO you're talking about? And I have a really great colleague that introduced me to it. And it was developed by these amazing minds at Harvard and some amazing leaders in adult development. And the DDO is about looking at yourself and understanding what your challenges are. And so your challenges, the things that we see as our flaws, the things that we see as our blocks, we call those your growing edge. And so the DD also is about transparency. And so in full transparency, we decided to do this Facebook Live and talk today, and we decided to do it last night. And seriously, since last night, I've been like, because what people don't know is that Maria is an introvert. It takes so much energy from me to muster the strength to do this because of my growing edge. And it's stuff that stems back to when I was a child at 7, 8, 9 years of age. And it's a pattern of behavior that I've created in myself that I know I need to work through. And that's what I love about the DDO model that we bring into the incubator. And it's something that you and I have always done.
Absolutely.
This is your challenge. This is your fear. How do we work against it?
Yeah.
Where is this coming from? Why are you responding this way? And asking really good, thoughtful questions to dig deep, because that's when we start unmasking all of this stuff.
Absolutely. And I think it's funny that you say that, because I think our relationship has, really been in line with a small little DDO for years, because I do feel like the things that you don't see in you, you know, sometimes I will pull out, and things that, so much like how, you know, Maria is an introvert. for me, this is my very strong point. I love to connect and you know, talk and be animated and all of that. And when it comes to the back end of the technical stuff and the support and the technology, and, you know, we were just discussing, and we're going to talk about it in a second, you know, Pinterest and, you know, why my brand isn't on Pinterest and why I'm not, you know, upping that end of me. And I'm like, I didn't know I needed a Pinterest, right? Like, I don't know that stuff, because all I know is the fun, you know, hey, how you doing, handshaking stuff. And it's impossible to be everybody at the same time, especially if you're not that person, right? We all have very core values. We all have very strong points, but we also all have very weak points that without the help of a community, around you, to support you, to help you, to get you through those things that is of like-minded women, because that's another big thing I struggle with, is finding other people that, you know, not only can, you know, get something out of me, but can also offer me something as well. And not in a selfish way, but just in a constructive pull and push way, the way you and I do, right? I mean, because otherwise you're drained, you know, if you spend your area in one thing, constantly giving, you're sucked dry. And if you're constantly receiving, then it's like you're being super selfish. And that's not really a way to advance business either. So our thing here, and what I wish everybody had, is this, because, you know, that's what I think is so amazing about what you created in this CDO and in this platform and incubator, is getting women just like myself who know that there's a little more they could be doing with their brand, or know that, you know, there's more that they could be pulling out of themselves and don't quite know where to go next with it. I had no idea where to go.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny that you brought the values in. Cause I don't know if you remember when I gave you those four cards, and
that's,
I was
my favorite thing ever,
the color cards. So the bank coding, which it's part of our onboarding sequence when people come into the incubator, is that you first go and you type yourself. So bank code is the first ever scientific proven personality. It's a typing system based on your values. And yeah. I fell in love with it when I found out about it, because it actually in 90 seconds made me understand why I had a hard time communicating with my eldest child, Alexa. I felt like we were constantly clashing, and I couldn't communicate with her and I couldn't understand her. And when I realized, who she was based off of her values, who I wasn't off of my values, I knew how I had to start communicating with her. You know, you are the red, you're the action, my action person, and you are go, 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 opportunity this, opportunity that, loves the spotlight, and I'm your blueprint girl, and I'm the girl that designs these complex, crazy platforms. I had someone take a sneak peek behind scenes of what we created in the incubator on the entire Raising a Girl platform, to see if they could actually help me with support. And the guy was like, you literally just built a $500,000 website. I can't touch this. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll find someone else. But anyways, like the girl that wasn't really,
I don't need it is what happened.
I do need help, but, you know, and I'm my blueprint, and I like to have things in order. And then there's the nurturers, which you have the people that are, you know, your teachers, your educators, a lot of your therapists, your social workers are your nurturers. And they're the people that are always giving and always giving and always giving. And in business, what happens with them is that they don't charge appropriately, or they give away services for free, or they don't have boundaries with that. And then we have our knowledge people, which are rarer to find with women, and they're very scientific based. They're most likely going to become your scientists. So you don't see as many of them as entrepreneurs unless they're developing like software companies and stuff. But understanding that, it kind of gives you a sense of, you know, where people are going to really excel and where they're going to struggle. And so you come into the incubator and you take this really comprehensive questionnaire, and we call it, it's our business and personal health assessment. And so we get all this and collect all this information of where you are with your business, what you've created, what you haven't created, and then a starting point of where you are feeling physically in terms of different aspects, so that we can then track your change and watch you grow and understand what's going on and where you need support. You know, but a lot of, you know, like the work that we've done also, and why we've balanced so well, and why we know the power of the community is so amazing, is that in the DDO, there is no hierarchy structure. There is no, like, you know, Maria's the CEO. I call myself a facilitator of this program. I know the theories, I know the methodologies, I know the structure, but it's not just a show that I run by myself. What we're really truly creating is this collaborative culture of women coming together, learning from each other and growing from each other. And I expect people to, you know, call me out on things that they see that I do wrong, or show me things that I might be seeing in my blind spot, or, you know, saying, hey, Maria, that, you know, comment or statement you made is not very inclusive in nature, or have you tried that? And just like I've done with you is ask thoughtful questions. Right. You know, what, you know, and I've asked you, like, what are you doing to streamline your process right now? Because you're on your phone all the time. So, and what do I say? I'm like, Jamie, are you collecting your email leads? Are you not putting them into a CRM? And you're like, what is she talking about? You know, so you can be like communicating with your people on a weekly basis, like your customers from a year ago, they're in the forefront, you know, all of these things. And I'm like, we just do CRM. And you're like, I don't even know what that is. But when we get that going for you, which we need to do,
I've started that.
Look, oh yeah, she's like sitting there. She's
stop
sitting
it right now. No, right, not this minute. Not notes. This minute. I did. You'll be proud to know that I have that under control. Probably not in the most efficient way, but it is in my forefront. You know, I just need to touch on one thing, because as you were talking about the codes and the cards and all the different colors. In my head, all I keep thinking of is, you know, when you have a rainbow, if that rainbow is only one color, it just wouldn't be as effective. You know, we wouldn't be looking at it like, wow, that's an amazing rainbow. It would just be like a red strip in the sky, you know, and like, that's cool. But when you start bringing other people together, especially when you're a sole entrepreneur, like when you're a sole entrepreneur, you still need a team. You still need people around you that give you the yellow when you need it, that give you the blue when you need it, right? Because what would you be without the red, right? What would I be without the yellow? How would anybody function without that blue? And it's so funny, I'm looking at your rainbow behind you right now. I love that, see? But you know, for me, you don't get that socializing on social media where there's 50,000 women asking the same question and you get 500 posts. This is such a nitty gritty personalized program that I just really feel so passionate about watching you grow this. I feel so passionate about the, you know, the reason for it. And I just think it's so much more necessary than I ever saw because of the fact that there were so many colors in my rainbow that were missing, you know?
Yeah. And you know, what happens is, you know, I was a photographer for years. And so I was in all these photography groups. And that's what happens, right? Is that you become a part of an industry. So whether you're part of a specific MLM or the MLM industry, or you're an accountant, or you're a social worker, or you're a therapist, or you're a yoga instructor, it's like, we know we need help. And we don't want to do it alone, so we need to go find people. And the first thing is people start searching for all these different groups. And you become immersed in all these different groups. And what happens is that while it's great to be around some of your peers because there are certain challenges that you're going to have that are specific to your industry, it is causing this lack or this limiting idea of what else business could be. And there's so much that
everybody's running around the same race. Everybody, you're just running in this circle, fixing the same stuff for everybody all the time. There is no, you know, we always talk about as entrepreneurs stepping outside of the circle, and that's where the magic happens. But there is none of that if you're always talking to the same person as you.
Yeah,
there's none of that.
Yeah. And there's so much learning that can be done. And that's what started to really awaken my eyes is when I started venturing out more and speaking with other women in businesses. You know, there's so much that I learned about from an accountant on certain ways that she marketed or she ran certain things. Or you can take a technique that somebody is using with her MLM business and tweak it for your company and use marketing that way.
Yeah. And then we talked about that last night. I was like, you know, I know it's MLM, but you know, traditionally, right? But I really think this, you know, is an amazing concept for any entrepreneur, right? I mean, you're absolutely.
And then we talk about, and we haven't even touched on collaboration.
Right.
Because that's, I think a place where women especially get really like, hold up, you know, because there's this feeling of direct competition with another woman in business. And it is such a damaging idea because when you learn to create a true network, and I don't even like using the word network because it's so overused, true network of women entrepreneurs are a group of women that have completely different specialties and that are really interested in relationship building. They're not interested in selling you their product. They want to create authentic relationships because what happens? That will bring you more money, more revenue, more success in your business than anyone else. Some of the connections that I've made for Raising a Powerful Girl have come from leads from connections that I've had. And what has happened is that right after, you know, I've made some amazing connections just because of our company name. I just interviewed recently the CEO of Yellowberry, which is a 17-year-old girl who founded this amazing bra company. She's been listed on all the magazines, Forbes Top 30s, Time Magazine. This is not a girl that you just get an interview with every single day. And so the first idea in my head was this other woman entrepreneur who I know runs this incredible company working with girls. And I said, I need to connect them. Not because there's something in it for me, but because they need to know each other, because their mission is like-minded. It's empowerment in a certain way. They need to find a way to collaborate and work together. And we need to be doing more of that. And because that is going to help these smaller women businesses and solopreneurs be able to have their voices amplified, because there's so much noise and chatter in the media today. You know, it's frustrating sometimes to do these Facebook Lives because there's thousands of them going on. So how do we amplify the voices of small businesses? And that's something that we're trying to do here, because we have this large platform. You know, our podcast is going through the roof with the growth. You know, the techniques that we'll be teaching in the incubator for women to grow in their own businesses that we're doing on our company, like you mentioned Pinterest and how I want you to start using Pinterest to drive organic traffic. We're doing that, and we're hoping to help amplify the voices of the women that come in by having them either blog for us, or, you know, share their knowledge, or come on our podcast, or do a Facebook Live with me on here. We want those women that are doing the work that we are doing and taking on these leadership roles and introducing them to our community as go-to women, because they're doing the work that we know is important.
Absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned leadership too. And I think that it's so important, because I think that's another word that's thrown around a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, I still look at myself as such a baby leader. I'm 10 years in. I've had teams of right now over 600 people working together. Right. But I still look at it as I literally learn from every single one of them. You know, the bottom person, the person that just started yesterday, or the person that's still hesitant to even have their own business, period, right? So that leadership thing, that's a lifelong study. That's not a, you just become a leader. And you know, there's a lot of quote unquote leaders out there that just get all these people and they have a big following and blah, blah, blah. But having a big following means nothing unless people are waking up inspired by you, unless people are making changes in their life because of you, unless people are growing because of you. And there's no way to have that without the camaraderie of other women trying to do the same. You know, we all have that same force, and just that momentum alone, I am huge on. I really think it brings something different to the forefront. I mean, like you said, really just, unmasking layers and being vulnerable and transparent in front of people that you really respect. And, you know, they're the ones that are going to tell you, like, hey, yeah, that's not going to fly with what you're doing, because this is how I saw that. Maybe imagine how your customer, you know, viewer, listener heard that, right? Like, and I can hear that from you, right? I certainly don't want to hear that from a customer, viewer, or somebody I'm trying to inspire, right? I want to hear that from you, where you can pick that out at me and say, hey, listen, that's not a leadership quality. That's not something that is going to help you or the audience you have grow from what you're doing, you know? So I think that getting that, it's almost an expert opinion on yourself, and really looking in the mirror at things that you might not want to look at, but are so necessary for you to grow in business.
Yeah. So there's two things there. You know, leadership, people say, well, I don't want to be a leader. And really the reality is everybody is a leader, or everybody has to lead. And so for us inside of the incubator, the first step of leadership is unmasking. There is no way that you can be a good leader if you don't understand yourself to your core. And that means removing these layers, these concepts, these ideas of what have been put on us by society, trauma, whatever you want to call it, to understand who you are. Because what happens is that we have these people that are out there and they are acting a certain way because they think that's what they need to do to lead. And sometimes they get these really great followings, but they have a hard time keeping up with it or holding on to it, or they're miserable when they're doing it because they haven't been themselves. And so for us, when women come in and we want them to start unmasking, getting down to their core, coming back to their intuition, which is something that's really powerful. And intuition, we can call it as a trade. We can say it's because we're animals. You can say it's because of the universe or source or God, or, you know, the fact that we only utilize 20% of our brain and the other 80%, we don't know what's going on. Maybe that's our intuition coming in. You know, we need to lead our own lives. And then we have relationships, or many of us are parents. And so how do you expect to, you know, we talk about raising a powerful girl and what that means. Like, how are you going to raise or empower your daughter to be all these traits that you want if you're not modeling the same behavior for her? And so, you know,
this will just grow. Listen, I mean, Maria, God bless my mom. She was a beautiful woman, but she did not teach me any of this stuff. This stuff wasn't taught to us growing up, I don't believe. So some of us had this innate sense, right? And we kind of were like, okay, wait, this is this 9-to-5, or maybe working for somebody else, or maybe just sitting back and not being creative, or, you know, my mind is always racing and there's something more for me. Those of us have always been looking, right? Now we have to find a way to teach it down to our children, you know, and not only little girls. I have two boys as well, but, you know, how important it is for my daughter, you know, because my boys will always be looked at as leaders, right? Because men are leaders, right? And no matter what they do, my little one especially, right? I mean, it cracks me up, but in class, he's the top leader in his class. And I'm like, really? Because at home, he can't tie a shoe. So that's interesting, right? But my daughter is such a leader, and she's looked at as, you know, a little too much sometimes, or a little bossy sometimes, or a little, you know, and that is so, that's our obligation, you know, and how to teach that down has to be, that's a learned behavior, you know, because sometimes when I want to teach it down, I want to knock her on her butt, right? Like, that's the way I would teach it down. Like, you need to stop this nonsense, this craziness. You're making me insane. But there's a method, and there's a way to nurture it without smushing it, right? And making her feel small. There's a way to let her shine. And I've only learned those behaviors from you. And it's really funny because I remember opposite when our kids were babies. And I was like, yes, I know she's crying through the night, Maria, but, you know, she'll stop eventually. I promise you. Nicholas was colicky and he was miserable. And I promise you, your daughter will eventually stop crying. And you're like, yeah, right? That's hard. Was too much for you. But mm-hmm. then as they get little, as they get older, you were like, you know, tearing down, well, why would she behave that way when she did that? Or what comes from that? And, you know, it's funny. People joke around with me that I never care about how things work, right? Oh, your TV's on? It's just on. I don't care how it got on. I don't know why it got on. My mind does not even go there. A lot of other people I know, my son included, wants to know how the picture got in the tube and how it turns on and how the light, he wants to know the whole thing. And I don't look at things like that. And I need to be around somebody like you who really needs to know, well, why did that happen? And without this course, without, you know, being involved in this with you, you know, I would not ever look at those things. And it's changed my personal life. It's changed my life with my kids. I'm a different mom. And it's certainly changed my business, you know, immensely over the last few years, for sure.
Yeah. And that goes back to, you know, looking at patterns of behavior, and really that's what it's about. And when we talk about our core mission here at Raising a Powerful Girl under the entire brand, the reason we're doing this is for global change and reform. And so my core belief is that the change we need to see in the world is going to have to come from women, because there is an imbalance in power right now.
Okay.
And that's really what it is. There is an imbalance in power. And so we need more women leaders. We need more women stepping up, but it's not that easy. And I know that because I've lived it myself, and I know I'm a strong leader. I know I'm very smart. I know I'm very capable, but there's a lot of head trash that has gotten into my head And I can trace it back to being 7 or 8 years old. And it can be things that were passed on from my parents. And I love my mother. And my mother did the best she could with the information she had at that time. But okay. There were patterns of behavior that were passed down through parenting.
And the world was different, Maria. They weren't ready for women to be, you know, it wasn't a thing back then, you know. So it, whether she knew or she didn't know, the world was not in a place to hear your voice, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But it's all about, you know, when we look at behavior of women or girls or an animal, and you can say you pull this from, you know, my husband and I raised guide dogs for guiding eyes for the blind. You know, first thing we'd always say is, you know, the behavior is a product of the environment. And so this applies to a child or a woman in the business. Absolutely. How is a child going to behave if she's not in a good environment, if she's not in a supportive environment, if she's not in an environment that she can be truly authentic to who she is and be able to live that life? How is a woman in business going to be if she's not in the environment where she can do that as well? Absolutely. But she has more work to do because she has all these layers that have been thrown on top of her that she now needs to get rid of. And it's not always pretty to do, and it's not always easy to do. And, you know, there's people out there that are like, yeah, it sounds really great. Incubator sounds awesome, but it sounds like it's hard work. And I'm not going to lie. It's hard work. And you know that.
It's the best work ever.
But it's the best work ever.
It's hard. You know, Maria and I remember a day when I think, I don't know if I asked you to get together on a friendship level, not on a business level, and you were like, I have so much heavy stuff. I have some stuff going on. And every time we get together, it's so heavy. And it's because we both are so heavy into, you know, pulling things out constantly. I mean, it's funny, you know, just hearing when you started with this idea and when you started growing this, you know, this platform, it just so really was reminiscent of what I try and really do with every relationship that I have that I think is lacking a lot of times in maybe a more corporate place, right? Because it's not very feeling based, but man, if, you know, it was taken into account why somebody's not performing or why somebody's not being efficient, or if that stuff was ever taken into account and actually worked on, now, obviously a corporate company is not going to handle that. So if you want to get to the top of your corporate company, this isn't just for women running their own business. I firmly believe this is a movement where women wanting to better themselves, period, in a business sense, in a parenting sense, in a, you know, entrepreneurial sense, you know, it is a platform where we can do that and grow, because we're not going to have that provided. There is no instructional book from your corporate office. There is no instructional book from our parents that didn't know this world. They didn't know how, you know, we were going to relate to each other, and how maybe when you said, hey, go ask daddy for ice cream money, how that was going to affect me 30 years later, right? Thinking dads have the money, men have the money, women don't have the money, right? Mm-hmm. So nobody's here now. And that's why I think it's so important for women to really, really look within themselves to grow. And yes, it's hard. And yes, seeing things about myself that I did not want to deal with. And one of them was when we started my blog. I have been writing for 35 years. I mean, I love to write. My deepest, darkest secrets have been put in marble notebooks. I'm telling you, I probably have 30 of them. You'd be like, really? None of them are blogs? 30. I'm not kidding you. For years, right? But for me, writing was most of, like, it was happening most when I was at the deepest, darkest parts of my life, and I was ashamed and embarrassed and felt like I didn't have anybody to turn to. So I turned to these pages, right? So putting myself out there felt like I would probably rather go into Manhattan and take my clothes off in the middle of the street than do what I was doing, you know? I mean, because it truly felt like I was naked on the other end of it. And I remember you busting in on me and saying, we did this. Like, we worked so hard on this. Why are you not writing? Why are you not following up on this? I let the site go down. I brought the site back up. I let the site go down. Right? And I go through these cycles. But man, it's so hard to put you out there, because this is not a product. This is not my CBD oil. This is not a sex toy. This is not a product. This is me. And if somebody doesn't like it, man, that's tough. That is so tough. But I had to go through this point where, and through you, I feel like I finally am at an area where I'm okay with the fact that not everybody is going to like what I have to say. And I'm okay with not being somebody's cup of tea, you know, not because I hurt them or because I did something wrong or was disrespectful, but I'm not going to be for everybody, and that's okay. I've learned the confidence through putting myself out there that I never had before. And believe me, I still feel like I'm jumping in a cold pool every time I hit send on my blog. You know, it's every single time because it's something that is, you know, something I've been struggling with for years. A lot of trauma, a lot of childhood stuff, right? But that's how you grow. That's the only way to grow.
That's what we would call your growing edge. And that's one of your growing edges. And yeah, man, there were days I was like, I don't know what she's doing. And I'd get the notification, bing, the wipe website's down. And I was like, oh Lord. And I just ask you, like, you need to dig deep on what is going on here.
Yeah. I was like, if she's going to keep pressuring me.
I don't have time, Maria. I'm growing my business. And I'm like, hold up. This is me you're talking to. Like, none of this, I don't have time. There's something else. What is it? And sometimes it's just having someone else ask you that question, having someone else say to you, because I mean, I do it every day with myself and with, you know, and I've done it with you, with this company. I have a couple other, you know, really trusted female colleagues that I work through. You know, entrepreneurship is not pretty. And the reality is there's a lot more dark moments than there are the really exciting moments, because it's hard. And especially when it's work that you're doing that's very heart-centered and you've really done the deep work to understand like what your mission is in the world, and then you create something out of it. Like this company is, you know, people are like, well, what happens if your company doesn't succeed, or if your company fails, what's your plan B? And I literally looked at them and I was like, there is no plan B. This is it. Like, this is why I'm here. And so there will be 1,000 pivot moments.
Oh yeah. Like, we all feel like we're breaking down. And you know, how many times so I'm a single mom of 3 kids, by the way, supporting my children on an MLM, right? So, she's crazy. That's not a real job. But I've been doing this for 10 years. Now, there have been many times where I was like, forget it. I'm getting a job. I'm getting a real job. You know, I had to work on my belief in myself and in my business and what I was creating, you know, because man, when you are not doing well, everybody in the planet is there to tell you, okay? Everybody. And when you are doing well, it's interesting who's really still clapping, right? But, you know, I really believe the mud grows the lotus, you know, and I really, really believe that those dark, horrible, I can't do this anymore times, the success is right past that. And I've seen so many women quit on themselves right before the magic happens. I am telling you, I have been in a women-based business for 8 of the 10 years that I've been doing this, and women are so quick to quit on themselves or not invest in themselves to the deserve level that they have.
Yeah. And it really comes down to, because we need a support system. You just need to have someone that you could reach out to on a day that you're crashing, or you get that horrible client email, or, you know, you just want to throw in the towel. And you know, that's part of why we wanted the incubator. And so we have an incredible, you know, forum set up, and people are like, well, why don't you just do a Facebook group? And I'm like, well, there's a lot of reasons. First of all, because there's privacy issues, you know, there's privacy issues with Facebook, and not a lot of people want to be on it, especially those that are therapists or teachers. They're not on Facebook. They don't want to be out there publicly. We want to keep our community very private and safe. And so we keep it off, you know, off of that, and just removing from this concept that this is a social gathering. It's about business and
growth. You have to be accountable.
Yeah. But you know, to be able to reach out and be like, hey, I'm struggling today. Who has 5 minutes to like hear me out? Or, you know, your accountability buddy, because we're pairing people up with accountability partners, right? We're getting those yin and yangs, that those fire starters like you that are going out there and butting them up with the blueprint girl that has the technology, so that they can work together and collaborate and support each other in a way that they really need, and they'll push each other to grow, and to have those partnerships and relationships that's what's going to get them moving forward. You know, to be able to ask for help. You know, I'm having this problem with my marriage and balancing my business, and my spouse doesn't understand what this is about and the struggle, and they think I should give up. Or how do you do this and have kids? Or, you know, how do I leave my corporate job to do this full time? You know, these right. are questions people have, and they don't really know where to go to and get true, authentic answers, not people that are just blowing fluff up your butt because they want to sell you something. Or want to convince you a certain way, you know, because there's a lot of that going on, especially on social media these days as well. Everybody's like talking about everything, how amazing it is. And, you know, just do this and everything will work out. And that's not always the truth.
No, absolutely.
So, well, it was, you know, you and I, like, there have been weekends where we've sat and talked for like 12 hours straight, and we could do
literally
that for-
not moved. We have not moved from the same seat. Our glass of wine keeps full, but we have not moved from the same seat.
Yeah, I'm usually standing behind the counter, constantly cutting up food for like for large amounts of children running through.
Get out of here and eat.
Leave us alone. We're talking.
You're right.
But you know, I think what's amazing is I love the work that you've been doing. I've loved watching you grow. I love that we have a relationship where we can challenge each other and come from completely different perspectives, and how the way that we have grown, we're teaching our girls, and you see this next generation of young girl that are powerful and leaders and very different as well, having that same collaborative relationship. And I hope to welcome, you know, more women into this community.
I was just going to say, I can't wait. I'm really excited to see like who I'm going to work with first, or what somebody else is going to get out of me, or what I can offer, or what, you know, somebody else's strong points are. Like for me, I'm excited. So I can't wait to see, you know, this all fly. And, you know, I'm always a huge supporter of everything you're working on, because I have to say, I've never met somebody in my life who is as genuine to themselves and everybody else around them as you are, honestly. So I appreciate all that you put into me.
For more information on the Business and Leadership Incubator, you can find it at www.raisingapowerfulgirl.com for professionals. We look forward to seeing you there.
You are a leader and a role model to developing girls. Whether you're raising a daughter or you work with girls on a daily basis, you see the incredible potential they have to make a difference in this world. You know the change we need is going to come from them, and you want to make sure they grow up to be independent leaders with a strong sense of personal identity, because these are the traits that make a powerful girl. So come join our community and education platform at raisingapowerfulgirl.com and become a part of our movement to educate, inspire, and cultivate a generation of powerful girls with eye-opening discussions and facts, exercises, and tangible calls to action. We can't wait to see you there.